Now verse 11 in Isaiah 26, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will see. They will not see. Don't you listen to that. Lord, when your hand is lifted up, that means when God's hand in judgment is lifted up over the nations, they're not going to see it. But the next verse said they will see, or shall see. That means when his hand comes down beside their head and knocks them a whining, they're going to see. They don't see it when it's lifted up with that threat, with that, a prediction of divine intervention. They don't see that hand that's stretched up here. It's fixing to lower the boom on them, but when the boom hits them, they'll see it. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll be glad when that comes. I want to see every old rebel out here on his, knocked flat of his back, looking up and saying, "Your Lord, your Lord." Praise God. And they're going to do it. Every knee's going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God the Father. All right, verse 16. Isaiah 26. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They'll look up the Lord when they get enough trouble. Now who? The church. Them rebels not going to look him up till he knocks them down and pours his wrath on them. But Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Why, who do you think he's talking about? He's scourging and chastening those sons whom he loves. Lord, have mercy. All right, listen to the last two verses. You know he's talking about our day in the tribulation period. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. And there you find a great revelation there of how God's people will be preserved when his wrath begins to descend upon this old rebellious world of men and women that have taken the mark of the beast, rejected the blood of Jesus, killed the prophets of God. And then God's saints will all be taken into a place of safety until the indignation has overpassed, the storm has passed over. Keep me safe, Lord, till the storm passes by. Praise God! I'll tell you, the Lord's got something for us after he's chastened us, after he's tested us, he's purged us and made us white. And I'll tell you, God doesn't send his wrath on his own people. That's what Jesus' blood is for. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise God. God's always passed over the blood when wrath comes. I understand the difference between tribulation and the great tribulation. That's what a lot of these modern day prophets accuse me of. Oh, he don't know the difference between tribulation and the great tribulation. Oh, yes, I do, old buddy, if you happen to be listening when this is on radio or cassette. I understand it better than you do. All right? They say, I don't understand the difference between the prophecies to Israel and the prophecies to the church. Oh, yes, I do, old buddy. I understand them too well. And I'm going to preach on them and show the difference. Then you come on along and say, don't you know, or he don't know, that between Revelation 3 or Revelation 4, the third chapter, in Revelation 22, it don't mention the church? I know that as well as you do, old buddy. Praise the Lord. I sure do. But I know something else. It talks about saints being in tribulation all through it. And where in the world do saints come from? Where do saints come from? See, here's something they don't know. In the books, three books of the Gospels don't mention the church. 2 Timothy don't mention the church. Titus don't mention the church. Philemon don't mention the church. 2 Peter don't mention the church. 1 John don't mention the church. 3 John don't mention the church. Jude don't mention the church. But it's all written to the church and the saints. Praise God, the epistle is addressed to the saints, which are at Corinth, which are at Ephesus. Praise God. God's elect, God's saints, are the same as the church. I'll tell you, we've got to understand the Word of God. I know that Revelation doesn't mention the church until Revelation 22:16. But I know another thing. The Bible says in Revelation 13:7, and to the Antichrist, or to him, speaking of that beast, the Antichrist, it was given to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I know the Bible also states, beginning in Revelation, the 6th chapter, in those that great panoramic review or preview of the whole tribulation period. See, another thing we've got to understand, beloved, is that the book of Revelation is not written in chronological sequence. Let me give you an example here. This is a great example. You take from Revelation, we begin in the 9th chapter to the 16th chapter is all parenthetical. It could fit anywhere in the great revelation of Jesus Christ in the fulfillment of prophecy. After all, you got to remember, this wasn't John's revelation. This was a revelation which God gave unto Jesus Christ to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto me, his servant John, who bear record of these things. Praise God. See, this is not John's revelation. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus. That one that had them eyes like flames of fire. His hair was as white as wool. In his right hand, he had 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's the kind of a Jesus Christ we're going to meet next. Amen. You're not going to meet a little lamb going around tickling babies under the chin with that little political or politician sort of an approach. That's all over. And the church don't even know the real Jesus of today. That's why Christ has got to be formed in the church by severe pressures and persecutions of the Great Tribulation. They wouldn't know Jesus if he showed up right in the middle of their church. They'd throw him out the front door. The Antichrist is very near at hand. There's a 7-year great period of trouble arising. And as no preacher can tell you, by cutting it up into slices like slicing a big piece of cheese or bologna and say, this slice is where it ends here, and this slice is for this, and this is the middle of the week, and this is over here. No, he can't. All of those times and those wonderful times and seasons the Lord speaks of are all put into the book of Revelation parenthetically. You can fit them anywhere. But we're not going to fit them. Preachers fit them a lot of places. But it's God that's going to fit them into the scheme of things that bring these great fulfillments to pass. But I'll guarantee you one thing. The church of Jesus Christ is going into at least 3 1/2 years of that 7-year period of trouble that men call the Great Tribulation period. And we're going to face the Antichrist. You're going to look him eyeball to eyeball. You're going to hear his false prophet preach. You're going to have the responsibility. That decision is going to face you and me, that we're going to determine whether we take the mark of the beast and whether we worship his image or not. We're going to face that critical crisis hour. And you and I are going to have to judiciously weigh the cost and make the decision. And it's going to be absolutely for eternity, that decision, when it's going to be crystallized. When you make it, that's the last decision you'll ever have to make. That's the last altar call. That's the hour of decision that we're all going to face. Lord, have mercy. The 7th angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to them that fear thy name, small and great. That's the end of your labors. When that old 7th trumpet sounds, it's finished. He heard a great voice in heaven saying, it's finished. The battle's over. The labors have all behind us. Our trials have all passed. The storm in its intensity is about to erupt. And the Lord says his wrath is about to fall. And he's going to judge them that destroy the world. But he's going to give rewards unto his servants, the prophets, and those that fear his name, small and great. Praise God, he's getting ready for that reward. We're living close to the time of the beginning of sorrows. We're one step away. I think of that scripture in the Bible in 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter and verse 3, where Samuel, he's fleeing from Saul, persecuted. And he uses the word that he was praying and said, God, deliver me out of all my tribulations. Because he said there's only a step between me and death. That's the way we're going to live, beloved, in this storm coming up. We're going to live with one step away from death. And it's only going to be the miraculous grace of God through angels.